Hockey Insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub. Five locations, with a sixth now open in Chattahoochee, and by Dagwood Sandwiches and Salads.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
Doing well, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. I know you will have some kind words for Francis Beaulieu, who, if he was listed at 5'8", that means he was probably 5'7", and he played for, what, nearly 20 years?
Hard-edged, proud, never a problem for coaches, knew what it took to survive in the NHL. I think I may have done his first ever game in the league on the radio way back when. Hardest worker. I mean, there's no way he should have survived in the league as long as he did, but his work habits were phenomenal.
You heard Plekanec there talk about how tough he was to play against.
He was hard-edged.
5'7", and less than 200 pounds. How do you manage that?
Well, there's a thing called the heart, and you and I have talked about this before. It's more for the analytics crowd. You can't measure a man's heart. If you put the analytics down on Francis Beaulieu, starting with size and going from there, arm length, stride length, speed, all that stuff, he would bomb out. But his heart can't be measured. And his hockey sense was very good, and he is strong as an ox. He was extremely strong.
Yeah, thinking of Dustin Tokarski last night. Darcy Tucker found that out. It's probably one of the fans' favorite Francis Beaulieu moments. It's when he got into a fight with Tucker and floored the Leafs forward.
Right. And Darcy, but to give credit to Darcy, Darcy was really tough, but Darcy was not a big person. He was nowhere near as thick as Francis Beaulieu, and Frankie knew how to fight. He's a tough guy, had a great low center of gravity. I've always respected him. I remember Ray Shiro was the assistant GM in Nashville, and he said, "We got a chance to get Francis Beaulieu. What do you think?" I said, "All he'll do is make your coaches happy." And he went down to Nashville and did really good things there before coming back to Montreal.
Played three full years for the Predators in Nashville, and Francis Beaulieu clearly had a strong relationship with Michel Therrien. He played for Michel Therrien in the Q. Yep. He played for Michel Therrien in the American Hockey League. He played for Michel Therrien in the National Hockey League a couple of times. I'm wondering, did you and Scotty Bowman, did you have guys like that? I mean, a lot of coaches are seek out players that they're comfortable with. Mike Keenan famously would always acquire, right? Try to acquire guys that he knew very well and could trust.
I can name you a bunch of them right now. Jeff Chychrun, Jimmy Pack, Sean McEachran, Randy Cunningworth, guys you really, really trust. They'll never cause problems for you. You can really trust them in your new dressing room. Jay Caulfield's another one. You know, Scotty really liked Bob Airey a lot. He brought Bobby to Detroit. Bobby played in Peterborough with Yzerman, so he brought him to Detroit near the end, and Bobby did a good job for him, was part of a Stanley Cup winning team. Players like that, you know, that don't cause problems, you really know their character. They might not be the biggest names, but they're very useful players.
With Pierre McGuire clearly on the road, where are you today, Pierre?
Driving to Syracuse, New York.
There's a gentleman on Twitter wants to know where you are heading in Syracuse. I want to buy Pierre a beer.
He is very kind. Unfortunately, LSU is playing Syracuse this weekend in football, Mitch. So I will not be staying in the town of Syracuse. I'm staying approximately 40 minutes south of there. But we'll play two games in Syracuse this weekend, Ryan's team.
All right. So there you have it. Nice try.
Oshie with all kinds of speed, shoots and scores! What a nice goal by TJ Oshie. He grabbed it in the neutral zone, crossed the blue line with a head of steam, snapped a wrist shot from the slot, and it's 2-0. It's Oshie coming now. Again, he'll move to his right, cruising into the slot. TJ Oshie scores! Neat move. He got in deep, went to the backhand, and beat Michael Condon.
Pierre, I think we touched on this a little bit yesterday about players in new surroundings, how important it is for them to feel comfortable right away. And there you have TJ Oshie, Mr. Shootout himself, scoring two goals, including the winner. Justin Williams, his first game, picking up two helpers.
Those two guys are going to make a difference there. Much like Orpik and Niskanen made a difference in Washington last year, those two guys will make a difference in Washington this year, talking about Williams and Oshie. I'm excited about their team. I think their team is good. I worry a little bit about Nick Backstrom not being there. I think that's something that could be problematic. But by and large, I like Washington's team. I really do. And I like Barry Trotz a lot as a coach. I think they've got a good thing going on. Todd Reirden is probably the next guy who's an assistant coach in the league that's got a chance to be a head coach. He was very close to getting the New Jersey job this past offseason.
Pierre, after the game last night, Oshie was talking about trying to develop a chemistry with Ovechkin in the last couple preseason games, and he made reference to how difficult it is to play with Ovechkin because of the fact that you're looking to pass him the puck, but everyone shades towards him defensively.
It's very true, and that's why the greatness of Nick Backstrom can never be overstated. Nick Backstrom, Mitch Gallo, is such a good player, and he's never gotten enough. I think maybe the last year or so, a little bit more credit, but nowhere near enough credit. And Ovechkin's been the beneficiary of some just brilliant playmaking from Nick Backstrom. So he is a hard guy to play with, but he's a good player to play with if you try to get him the puck.
Here's Williams to the front. Ovechkin scores! Wow. Tic-tac-toe. Ovechkin came in off the left point. And at the dot, drilled it past Tokarski, a power play goal for the Caps. They lead it 3-2.
And again, something we talked about. Everybody knows the power play. It's eventually going to Ovechkin, and they can't stop the guy. It's amazing. Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. From a Canadian's perspective, Alex Galchenyuk certainly looked like an NHL centerman last night.
Agreed. I didn't see the whole game because I was watching different parts of the Rangers in Boston, but I saw parts of the game, and the parts that I saw, I thought Galchenyuk was really solid. So that's the good news. McCarron obviously getting physical. That's some good news. I think most people would agree. They're not going to get pushed around. We talked about him yesterday in terms of asserting himself physically. So don't overreact to the score in preseason. It's what Rod Francis correctly asked me the other day. You know, what are you looking for? You're looking for guys that can make a difference and for your guys to get some rhythm and timing. But don't overreact to the scoreboard.
Pierre, Galchenyuk was cheating on quite a bit of the faceoffs. He was getting tossed out of the circle. And I'm wondering, in the NHL, when a guy has, when a line has two centers on it, like how much more often do they just bear down and cheat because they know the other guy can jump in?
Well, I would imagine, I don't know this for sure, but I would imagine that Craig Ramsey, who was tremendous in faceoff play, will sit down and talk with him about this. And if it's not today, it'll be very soon. You don't want your number one guy getting a reputation around the league for being a cheater. Trust me, because once that happens, it becomes problematic with the officials, but especially the linesmen who are mature and have studied the league. You cannot do that to linesmen, especially the older ones. So if you get a reputation for doing that, that's bad news. Bad, bad news. And I'm sure Craig Ramsey will talk to him about it.
Interesting that you say he was so good at faceoff play when, in fact, he was a winger. Don Luce was a centerman.
Yeah, but Ramsey was so aware of so many different things. Mitch, I'm telling you, the Boston Bruins, when they were really jumping it and Ramsey was on the staff, Tampa Bay, when they were winning the cup and he was on the staff, Craig Ramsey understood every facet of the game. That's what I'm talking about. He will break it down and he'll make it easy for the player to understand. That's what I'm talking about. So you don't have to be. You know who understood faceoff play as well as anybody? He wasn't even a forward. Larry Murphy. He could tell you everything, what every player should do in faceoffs, because they have this brain that works. You know, they have a hockey brain that works. I'm sitting next to one right now, 13-year-old kid. We're talking about hockey. He's got a hockey brain that works. And you can't teach that stuff. Kids either get it, players get it, or they don't. It's bizarre.
Canadians have 7 preseason games over 11 days, if I'm not mistaken, Pierre, and that's pretty much the average. A few teams have 6. Some teams are going the split squad deal, and they play 8. Who makes the decision on number of preseason games? I mean, do they consult the coaching staff as to how many is appropriate? Is it about organization looking to make some more money? Ultimately, who decides this?
Management. Usually it's the manager and the president sitting down and evaluating who they can get on the schedule, what's the gate receipt going to be, do they have to travel. I will not tell you the player, but I was working in the league with Hartford when we made a deal with the New Jersey Devils, and part of the deal was they had to give us 2 preseason dates. So they decided to play the games in Albany, New York. but we didn't specify, but we got preseason dates from them gates, and that paid all of our preseason expenses for every player we brought in. So it does make a difference, I can tell you.
Here comes Wiesnau. He's got Fleischman out front. Thomas Fleischman scores! Fleischman on the backhand, and it's 2-1.
La deuxième étoile, the second star, Thomas Fleischman.
I felt good. I felt, I always said, puck was following me on the ice, so it was one of the better games, and teammates helped me a lot.
So, Pierre, more so than ever, and I don't know if this is going to change in the foreseeable future, you got a proven NHL veteran player, Thomas Fleischman, in camp on a pro tryout without a contract, trying to earn it. These are more than meaningful moments. Almost every shift is could be his last.
I'm a huge Fleischman fan. Have been since he was drafted by the Detroit Red Wings. He played Moose Jaw in the Western Hockey League, played in the World Junior, and I can tell you he was traded to Washington as part of a deal to get Robert Long. And
Pierre? Boy, that was you think
that's a different kind of dropout. This is a cell phone dying.
This is a cell phone dying?
Yeah.
I hope he wasn't like vaporized or something. Because that was normally we get some kind of hello, Pierre.
I'm here. I'm here.
We're worried that you were vaporized. I thought you were vaporized, Pierre.
No, Fleischman's a pro's pro. He's good. He's real good. Useful. Very useful.
Oh, you dropped out on us there for a few seconds.
Sorry.
It's not your fault. It's okay. Is that going to change? Are we now in this era where you have so many recognizable veteran players, Marty Havlat down in Florida, for example, who have to earn a contract?
Yeah, it's a cap. It's all predicated on the cap and what's going to happen. Teams are going to be smart with their pro scouting. They're going to see somebody that's left out there. Marty Havlat's a good example. As long as he's healthy, he can really play. Same thing with Fleischman. They're both guys that have had a history of having some success, but also having a history of some injuries. But those guys are going to come in way under dollar value. It's what I told you about with Schlemko out of Calgary and out of Phoenix. New Jersey got a bargain. He signed for $750. He made $1.25 million last year. I mean, he's a good player. So if you do your pro scouting in your homework, you're going to be able to find, and you can't take a bunch of them, but you can get one or two that can really help you.
But we know what type of player he is, and we will evaluate the kids, and we're going to be able to learn more about him and eventually take a decision.
Once again, Michel Therrien on Thomas Fleischman. Again, a good-looking trio last night. Mm. Thomas Fleischman, David Desharnais, and Dale Weiss on Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Right?
Yeah, I guess it's also about managing the 50 contract limits, right, and how you massage the upper level there, and whether you want to give a real contract to someone who might only be with the team for a couple weeks as opposed to a younger player who could prove very valuable down the road in a couple years.
You have to manage that. It's a great point. It's something that's obviously realistic. This comes down to Mark Bergevin and his management team being real careful in terms of what they're doing with contracts. That's why giving out a contract, you got to be careful. You just can't hand them out because you like a kid a lot. You got to make sure the kid comply. So absolutely, Rod, you got to manage every single contract you award.
Anything else catch your eye specifically last night?
No, I was going to ask you something, believe it or not. I wanted to ask you, what was the fans' reaction to Semin?
Gallo, you were in the building. I was not there. I'm like you. I watched the game in a condensed version afterwards, so I wasn't in the rink.
Right. I would say indifference.
Indifference?
Yeah.
There wasn't any... nothing?
Not really, no.
I am really... he's the only one I'm concerned about. I don't know how they're going to get his attention, but they're going to have to do something to get his attention. He should have been jumping through the gym last night, wanting to prove a point against his old team. Ovechkin's in the lineup. He should have been jumping through the gym, and he didn't do that last night. At least I didn't see that.
Well, I mentioned that he had a couple of good scoring opportunities, like shots, but Gallo, who was there, said he seemed to be on the outside.
Yeah, he was a bit on the perimeter. And it's funny, actually, he went to the middle once, and Ovechkin tried to run right through him. He almost did.
Ovechkin ran over Tenorti last night, too. He tried running over Subban. Ovechkin was like in midseason form physically last night.
Well, he's engaged now. He wants to show his future bride just how tough he is.
So, Pierre, there are some people trying to suggest, and maybe they'll be right in the end, but that there is a battle for the backup job to Carey Price here. With Dustin Tokarski, who didn't finish all that well a year ago, gave up three goals. The first one, he looked a little awkward. He was leaning forward, but you really couldn't blame him. And Mike Condon came in and looked good. Right. Tokarski's got an NHL deal. Condon is on a two-way. Do you think there's anything to this?
No. I would be surprised. And I would only be surprised because of what Rod just correctly, and I think really smartly, talked about. It's managing contracts and managing the cap. I'd be shocked. I would be shocked if something like that were to happen.
Somebody just tweeted us, it's no surprise that Pierre disappeared when he mentioned Lang. And I would imagine that 13-year-old hockey brain does not come from Melanie. I'm just taking a wild guess here.
I don't know. Ask him. He's on the line. No, he doesn't want to talk. He doesn't want to get in trouble with his mother.
He's got his game face on. Have a great weekend, Pierre. Have a great time out there.
Thanks a lot, Mitch. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy your families.